Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go, this is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson, pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney, so what?
Welcome along to the Melchester Odyssey. I should just... a little bit of housekeeping, I think, before we begin. We do these remotely from our homes. I'm sure you know that. I've sort of moved my phone closer to me so Sam can hear me better through the phone mic, because we do like a WhatsApp video call, and I'm looking at what you can see, Sam. You can see less of my face now, but a lot of my tits.
Yeah.
Is that going to be like, alright for you going forward?
Do you know what it feels like? It feels a little bit like that scene in Midnight Express where he gets his bird to like squish her tit up against the plastic divider. That's what it's like. It's like your tit. Your tit is almost flattened against the camera lens. I got to tell you, I'm liking it.
You like it? That's all right. There. All we could do is try these things. It's small margins, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. Everything's about tiny margins if we want to crush our competitors.
As Jake Humphries would probably say, it's all about tiny margins.
Tiny margins. Yeah.
So there you go. Anyway, I have in my right hand 28th of July 1984 issue of Roy of the Rovers, courtesy of IPC Magazines Limited. It doesn't tell us who's in the sign please centre spread this week,
right?
They've decided to tell us that there are 9 fantastic football stories inside, and there's a star at the beginning and the end of that. That's that strap line across the top. So they're really trying to sell the idea there's 9 fantastic football stories. I disagree. Some of them aren't fantastic, but I mean, this suggests as well that the star of the sign please page this week isn't all that. And I'm just going to look and see who it is. Sam, we could be sat here from now until the end of time and you would never guess the name of this player. So,
well, this is a bit like when my long run in game, I'm thinking of a footballer. What footballer am I thinking of? Which is still going now. Although I would say,
did someone not get it?
Someone got it. Did you get it?
I didn't get it.
Someone got it, but I haven't told them that they've got it, because that ruins it for everyone else.
It's £1 million prize, isn't it?
Yeah, and also I don't have £1 million to give out. Someone guessed it, and what's weird is that they guessed it, and I didn't tell them that they were right, and yet somehow they know they're right. And I swear to God, really? I've never uttered this, unless I'm uttered it maybe in my sleep. I don't know.
Right.
So I don't know whether this is one of those things where they say the Chinese can listen to our thoughts now. I think they put a chip inside.
I'm just always assuming that's the case.
Maybe it's a Chinese fella who's been listening to my thoughts and he's got it. But I tell you what, he's going to have to wait for his £1 million.
It's not Darren Brown, is it? Under an assumed name,
It could be, yeah. Would you at least give me a... Would you at least give me one clue? What club did he play for?
I can't even fucking tell from the picture.
Really? Oh, my God.
It's a massive close-up headshot. I think it looks like Leeds. I'm going to have to Google him and see who he played for.
Leeds were in the doldrums in like 1984 or whatever
well,
this was.
Exactly. Yeah, I can't. Is he even on Wikipedia? Yeah, he was at Leeds at the time. He was at Leeds, and I'll tell you, I'll give you more. He signed from Leeds in 1983 from Celtic, where he'd scored 54 goals in 145 games for Celtic, and he's Scottish.
Leeds, you're still never, ever, Scottish, ever. Yeah, no idea. I mean, Leeds were not, in this era when I was first into football, Leeds were not a thing that I was aware of. So you just have to tell me his name.
All right, it's George McCluskey.
George McCluskey, yeah. Mrs. Yeah. McCluskey. Nickname, Mrs. that would have been a brilliant nickname on the training field, wouldn't it? All right,
how
Mrs.
close up that is. It's God, just a headshot. It's like his ID badge.
He's got huge facial features as well, even without the close-up.
Marred by the fucking fold in the page in the middle, the crease.
Yeah.
There he goes.
This is not a good week for Roy the Rovers. Whoever's in charge of that, they wouldn't have been happy. Who have we got on fucking special pull-out posters?
Same
kid
place.
Who was on work experience, fucking get shot of him. He's useless. Fucking Mrs. McCluskey. I'd have rather had the real Mrs. McCluskey. See if you can get rustle up a picture of her in her undies. They've always, these actresses, they've always got something in there. There's skeletons in all their cupboards.
Not Mrs. McCluskey. Fucking hell, man.
Mate, Mrs. McCluskey was quite fit. And if you think about, and you know, yeah, there might have been some glamour shots she did when she was first started.
Never thought so then. Looking back now.
Oh yeah,
obviously your taste has become more wide ranging.
I saw you tweeting that. I think you were watching Top of the Pops the other night, but I wasn't sure who you were talking about. But you were like me when this was first shown. Why is there an old woman on Top of the Pops? And it's like me now.
Witch.
Yeah. And I thought, yeah, I didn't know who you were talking about, but I didn't need to because I just thought that it's amazing.
Tell you who it was?
Who was it?
Tell you who it was.
Yeah,
Tina Turner.
Yes. Exactly. Tina Turner, I'd have been like, ugh. I remember when she did a few years after that,
like
when she
42.
Did We Don't Need Another Hero, and she was all scary in Mad Max. And I was like, ugh, she's like the baddie from Thunderhawks. Ugh, help me. Now I'm like, oh my God, there's never been a sexier woman than Tina Turner.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. You know, tastes change. Times change. You can't go back, though. You can't go back.
I had a dream last night. Sorry, I know Dream Chat's banned, but...
Oh, let's have a bit of Dream Chat. Go on.
I had a dream that I was at university. Yeah, I was back at university. But I'd started dating the Friends actress Courtney Cox. Right? Now, what I've got... I've got to tell you, Andy, the strange thing about this is that I've not got a problem with Courtney Cox. I think she's a very, you know, funny actor. But I've never found her attractive. You know, she's not someone who I would have thought, whoa, like that. So, I don't know, she had no business. I'm not in the business of erotic dreams these days. I haven't been for years, right?
Is it a business?
I'm not in the business of that. I used to be in the business of that when I was a younger man, but now they don't really trouble me. And on the whole, I'm quite happy about that because they don't half confuse you and discombobulate you when you wake up. Right, you don't want it. You don't need that shit in your head. It froze you sometimes for 24 hours. Right, so I'm happy to not be in the business. So yeah, maybe once a year, I'll have a dream that might be like vaguely fruity.
Treat yourself once a year.
Well, it just comes from nowhere.
Christmas.
Yeah, and like, but usually it'll be I mean, it'll make sense to me. Courtney Cox is not someone I've ever found attractive. Not really. Doesn't really fit with the kind of vibe that I would find attractive, right? I mean, she obviously is objectively a beautiful woman, but no, not for me. Horses for courses, taste change, like you say. So I was discombobulated by this dream because it was quite in-depth. It wasn't highly sexual, although I think we did do some heavy petting at one point, but it was more like she was at the university and she was sort of mates. We were all mates, and then suddenly it was just like, oh, yeah... Mm. Yeah, I'm going out with her now. And it was like got really serious really quickly. and it was just sort of like the mundane, rather than it being all like sexy, it was like we were engaged in the mundane nuts and bolts of starting out a relationship. Oh, yeah. Like, where are we going to stay tonight? Yeah. Should we stay with each other every night, or should we try and play it slower? And what are we going to do for dinner? Have you got any food over at yours? Like, you know, like the boring stuff that kicks in a relationship.
The admin, yeah.
A relationship admin kicks in after the first few months of blowjobs, etc., right? Then suddenly it becomes relationships become 90% admin, right? And in this dream, me and Courtney Cox, we were living as students on campus, but in separate digs. And we were just fully engaged in quite detailed and mundane relationship admin. And people kept asking me questions about relationship, like, oh, it's amazing you're going out with Courtney Cox. What's she even doing at this university? And I say, oh, you know, she's doing a degree. But yeah, we were mates, and now we've just decided to start dating. It's not a big deal, but I think we're going to stay together forever.
Did she speak often of her time on Friends?
No, I didn't ask her. I think in the dream, I thought she probably gets this all the time. And yeah, she probably finds, one of the reasons she finds me attractive is that I just treat her like anyone else.
Yeah, you don't ask about all that stuff. Yeah, that's
I don't bother her with all of that. I just treat her like any other human being, and, you know, and that's, I think, why me and Courtney...
I can see why the romance has blossomed, really.
I think, in all honesty, I know this sounds arrogant, in the dream, to be honest, she was more into me than I was into her.
All right.
I was happy to go along with it because I thought, well, you know, she's Courtney Cox. She's very beautiful and she seems like a nice person. And also, there's a bit of kudos attached to this because I'm dating one of the cast of the most successful sitcom of all time.
Yeah, that's what you're looking for when you go into a relationship.
Kudos.
The people are going to think.
Yeah. And so I'm thinking, there's a lot of boxes ticked. I'm not going to complain, but I'll be honest, it's not like my dream relationship. But fair enough, I'll go along with it. Whereas she was like...
You're going to just kill a bit of time with her, you think, and it'll just fizzle out.
I was like, see where it goes. Whereas in the dream, she was very much like, this is forever, right? Like, we're in love and this is forever. And what are you going to say in a situation like that? No, I'm going to suck it and see. I'm going to see how it goes, see what else comes up. You have to go, oh, yeah. Yeah, it's totally legit.
Definitely.
Yeah, I reckon we should get a dog.
Forever.
Let's get a dog. Let's just go for it.
Jesus Christ.
So luckily, I woke up before I had to face the consequences of my, let's be honest, dishonesty to Courtney Cox.
Yeah. You were mealy-mouthed, I would have said.
There's quite a lot of pressure. Do you know what I mean? Like, when you're sort of young. Because in the dream, I was back to being 19 again, you see.
Was she 19, or was she like as she is now, or was she as she was in Friends?
It was weird. I think she must have been...
Because I think she's probably
I think she was like 30. I'm going to say 30. She doesn't look like she looked now. Right. She looks like she did in Friends.
It was peak Courtney Cox, right?
I think what it was no,
not that she's not peak now.
No,
peak,
I think
Courtney
I
Cox
think
now
I,
could be peak Courtney Cox.
I started university in 1994, which I'm pretty sure is when Friends started and first became
big. Friends started, I didn't
watch Friends then. I thought it was a naff mainstream thing, right? But I think that in the dream, she'd just become a star in Friends, but she'd decided to take a year out to go to university. And that was the situation that I was in. And now
she
I'm awake.
She probably thought that university was a good idea because stardom or, you know, the Friends thing wasn't going to be forever. She wanted to get something
she wanted
solid
to get,
and grounded.
Maybe she was doing a City and Guilds, like getting a trade. Because then you'll never
catering,
want for work if you've got
like
a trade. Car, joinery.
Maybe catering. Maybe she thought she could make cater functions once she'd finished doing Friends.
She's like, listen, I don't know if this is going to go beyond series two. And, you know, my dad's been on at me. Get yourself a trade. But, you know, I realised that, I could have gone to University of California or Berkeley or something like that. But I thought, get out of the Hollywood bubble. Go somewhere where you're not going to get hassled by the paparazzi every day. Keep a low profile. So I did a bit of digging, and Brighton. It turns out the University of Sussex in Brighton, in the UK, does a great City and Guilds in catering. Yeah. So that's what I'm doing here.
She could do weddings, funerals, bar mitzvahs, 18ths, 21sts. Maybe she could do a bit of flower arranging on the side as well. Once she's done the catering,
that's a separate,
that could be the building block.
She
could do flower arranging, maybe hair and makeup.
Well, these are all different. You can't just dabble in those things. You can do catering, flower arranging. I've got a mate who does that, though she'd kill me if she heard me call it flower arranging, because that's to belittle. You know, it's like she's got...
What do you call it then?
I don't know, but it's got a posher name than that. She's made a very good career for herself out of going round to like posh venues, parties, that sort of thing, and laying on the flowers and doing
floral display technician.
She's like a designer. She's got an art degree, you know. It's like,
yeah.
I don't think Courtney could pins. Just be like, oh, right. Give us an extra fucking score and I'll chuck a few daffs in a vase here and there.
No, I'm thinking she could do them separately at different functions.
Oh, yeah.
One weekend she might do some catering, the next weekend flower arranging, just to keep things fresh.
Yeah.
Not an all-in package. Well, she could do that, you know.
If she had a website, there could be a drop-down menu, and it could say My Services, and then there's a sub-menu, and it says flowers, catering. What was the other one you said?
Hair and makeup. That needs to be separate, though. You can't involve that with catering.
Mixologist. I will come and set up a pop-up bar at your event and do...
Tarot reading,
yeah.
Karaoke.
Caricature drawing.
Caricaturist, yeah. Mm. Fucking hell. So many options. So yeah. I assume you haven't told your good wife about this dream.
No, but I am thinking of telling her.
Are you?
Sometimes I say things like that to my wife, because my wife is not particularly, like, she's not that romantic. Like, I'm very romantically minded. Like, I'm always nostalgic about our life together. Yeah. And I always try to engage her in conversations like, oh, do you remember when we were first together? Or do you remember this? Do you remember that? And she's a bit like...
She says no.
Yeah, have you changed the litter tray? Fuck's sake.
I've blocked all that out.
Yeah, why are you saying these things?
What's the point of remembering those times? They're not here anymore.
Yeah, exactly. She's a bit like that.
All we have is this.
Yeah, all we have is now. And so sometimes I, because I'm obviously very needy, I will chuck things in. Maybe like I had a dream where I, in an alternate universe, I got together with Courtney Cox and not you. Because in my mind, I think that might stimulate her into, you know, some kind of jealousy, a jealous rage.
Yeah.
But she'll just be like...
That's not what you want, though, is it?
No, I don't know what I want. Just need... attention.
She just kind of just toot and roll her eyes at the Courtney Cox.
There was one time years ago, like it was about 15 years ago, and we were at a hotel. It was like one of our birthdays or something, a nice hotel. And I was something like, she went down, she said, I'll see you in the bar. I'm going down now. Come down when you've had a shower, whatever. And so she goes down to the bar, and I took quite a long time coming down. And when I came down to the bar, she was having a cocktail and reading a book. Very didn't care, hadn't noticed, hadn't turned up. So I went, sorry, I was a while. And she looked up. She didn't look up. And I went, I was getting a blowjob from the maid, right? And without looking up from her book, my wife went, yeah, tell someone who gives a fuck, mate.
That is ideal marriage stuff.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
Yeah.
From a marriage.
Yeah.
You've got it there, mate. You've got it there.
I think that's, you know, that's, I think that's how she's kept me interested, is her sort of indifference.
Yeah.
Imagine if it was someone who played to my not insubstantial ego. It would have been a disaster.
Yeah. Yeah. I think perhaps you should tell her about Courtney Cox, and then we can cover it on Friday's episode.
I'll tell her, and then I'll report back on Friday.
Yeah, I think maybe that'll be good.
Okay.
Shall we look at Roy of the Rovers?
Yeah.
All right. Front cover, Oh man, I've flicked through all four pages because I'll send you photographs of all the pages to look at. And I'm just so bored with Carl Hunt's fucking idiot face.
Yeah,
all the time.
This is the most boring. Summer is usually a good time for storylines because they do something weird. This is the worst summer storyline ever. It's not really about Roy. It's Roy weirdly just looking at someone else's story. They've done a complete different story, but they've made Roy sort of observe it from the sidelines.
Yeah, trying to work things out.
It's like a mystery.
Psychological jigsaw.
Yeah, but it's quite boring as well. Yeah. It's not like, let's find out who killed someone. Do you know what I mean? Like, they've set the bar pretty high in the past with, like, you know, attempted murder and whatnot. This is just really boring, like, the psychological drama going on inside the mind of a player who doesn't play for Melchester, who we've never met before. Like, who cares?
Don't care about.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's motivating him? We don't care. We're not bothered. Will he sign for Melchester? Again, we don't care.
Why is Roy so obsessed with it? He is obsessed, isn't he? I can't get it out of my head, Blackie. What's driving him? What's his agenda? What was the catalyst to his behaviour? Yeah, we're going to devote the whole summer to it, Blackie. But all right, can't we just enter the cricket tournament again or go to Basram and get kidnapped? Or can't we just go on holiday to Cyprus or Crete? No, my whole summer is going to be devoted to trying to unpick the network of thoughts and feelings that exist within Carl Hunt.
Maybe Basran happened afterwards as a reaction to this. Maybe
I'm
the sales figures plummeted
deep,
so much.
I'm going deep undercover inside Carl Hunt's mind palace. On a safari.
Can I come?
I'm going on a mind safari.
Are we going in your car or have you got a special brain jeep?
By the way, talking of going places, have you heard all this stuff they're singing about on the pop charts about this place, Babylon? I was wondering, Roy, is that a real place and can we go there? Leave off, Blackie.
Shut up. I'm thinking about Carl Hunt. It's put me right off six-a-side tournaments as well.
Jalapeño.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Jalapeño.
Roy Race, player manager of Melchester Rovers, suspected that Carford City's brilliant midfield player Carl Hunt was blaming himself for wrecking the career of another player. When Roy refused to discuss Hunt's transfer to Melchester, he was misquoted by the press, and now Carl was being given a hard time in the semi-final of a six-a-side tournament. Who cares? So who are they playing? Parkdean. And as a Parkdean player, get the ball. Hunt's on fire again. Dean's Park. Oh, it's Dean's Park, not Parkdean. Dean's Park are putting non-stop in bold. Non-stop pressure on him. It's a 50-50 ball, but will Carl get there first? Carl doesn't get there first. Carl throws himself back and goes, oomph!
Oomph! Fucking hell, he's just chopped an oomph in here. We know it. He's getting worse by the second, Blackie.
I mean, like, oomph, it's just German for oof, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oomph!
Oomph!
Das oomph! He's lost it again. Hunt just couldn't produce a full-blooded tackle. Roy, who was watching the game, had been approached by a sports photographer named Gordon Vine. Yeah, that happened at the end last week as well. Gordon Vine promised some kind of information about Carl Hunt.
So, what do you want, Gordon, you nosy cunt?
Where's your camera? Why you not got your camera with you? What's going on? Is this your life? Is something happening? Gordon, there's only one person who can help Carl Hunt to recover his old form, and that's Carl Hunt. Gordon Vine.
That's it. You can write that down. Last week. That's I forgot what
quote. It was. This is. I'm not so sure, Roy. Over to page 2 or 4. Wow. Gordon has presented Roy with a VHS cassette. We are very much in the era of VHS cassettes now. This is the second one we've had in a few weeks.
Yeah.
Because, of course, Roy had that tape of... Was it all of Carl Hunt's performances or something? He'd been compiling them or something.
He's going to show him the black. We want to say to everyone going, Blackie, come in here. I call this my Carl Hunt room. Why is there pictures of Carl Hunt all over the wall, Roy? It's the only way.
Why do you love Carl Hunt so much? Do you not love me anymore? I'm doing something wrong, Roy. I can't change.
There are no emotions. It's a fascination. Let's call it scientific. He's a conundrum that I must crack.
He gives him this video cassette. This might do the trick. A video cassette. You better explain, Gordon. Gordon explains. When I saw your comments in the papers, it made me start thinking, you know. I was in a league match in which Les Anderson was injured. And I remember that I'd got permission for my son Gavin to try out his new video camera to record a few action sequences. Fuck.
Bit fucking weird, but go on.
Yeah, is it okay if my son Gavin tries out his new video camera? He wants to record a few action sequences. Yeah, whatever. It's probably going to get smashed, but okay.
Do what you want.
And he says, and last night I took another look at the film you shot. It's very interesting, Roy. Roy says, can I see it? And then Gavin went, what's he called, Gavin? I don't know. Can't be asked anymore. Gavin says, sure, come on. I've had it set up in the crowd control room. They've got a video recorder in there. What the fuck? And there's a door with private written on it. And Roy has been ushered into this room, the crowd control room. And indeed, there is a bank of screens. There's a commissionaire-type character with the peaked cap watching over the screens. Soon, Roy is stood there watching this TV at head height with Gavin behind him. Good grief, you're right. This is interesting, Gordon. Your son could be the answer to Carl Hunt's problems. That's what I thought.
Your weirdo son. Your weirdo son dicking around with his fucking camera when he should be out playing football or kissing birds might be the solution to all this.
He's crouching down, filming athletes.
Fucking weirdo. Mind you, it could have paid off in this case. Mind you, I'm not one to judge. He should be my fucking son. I have to keep that daft cunt in a cage. You gave him a camera, he'd fucking eat it. The whole thing. What he'd do is, he'd disassemble it, which he'd be surprisingly good at. He's got a little set of screwdrivers I got him for Christmas. Penny didn't want me to because I said it was dangerous, and he has swallowed a couple of the smaller ones, but the other ones he uses, and he'll disassemble it part by part, and then he looks at all the parts, he lays them all out neatly, and you think, fucking hell, he's going to reassemble it, but then he don't, he eats it all, the springs, the cogs, the buttons, the wires, everything.
But he eats them in size order, smallest to largest.
And then it does pass through. I don't know how his metabolism works, but it does pass through him fairly swiftly. We've never had to have it, like, surgically removed on out like that. He's done it. He did it to one of them Sony Walkmans. We gave him one of them for his birthday. He disassembled that and ate it. He'd do it to a video camera.
There's something about him. I can't figure out what it is. He's got something special. And it just hasn't properly revealed itself yet.
I'm wondering if...
Put it this way. I don't know how I could monetize him, but there's definitely going to be a way.
I've got in touch with Bruce Forsyth about him and said, look, is there any way we can get him? Bruce, he owes me a favour. I said, is there any way we can get him on the box or on the cabaret circuit? And he said, I'll give it some thought. So, you know, fingers crossed. He's costing me a fortune.
Actually, chase that up.
So, but I'd like to earn some of it back. So what I'm saying is, your son might be a nerd, but fuck's sake, there but for the grace of God, eh? Right.
Hey, get this. Fucking hell, here comes a plot twist. So Roy's watching this bit of video, which we still don't know what's on it. Roy turns around to Mike, who is the commissionaire fella in the control room. Mike, is there any chance of rigging this equipment so that we can show this piece of film on the big screen out in the arena?
Fucking hell. Roy, this is really...
What?
This is not right. Every cunt's got
this
a right to
end.
See this, Mike.
This has got to end with Carl Hunt signing for Melchester, because otherwise there's no end game in it for Roy. There's no fucking reason for him to do this. So Mike says, I don't see why not, Roy. what is it? Is it porn? Fucking hell. Yeah, sometimes when there's no one here, I put my videos on the big screen and I go and sit on the turf in the middle of the court.
I'll put like a filing cabinet or something against the doors to make double sure no one's going to step in when I'm, you know, giving me old chap a little bit of a shine up, if you catch me drift.
I have a nice good wank off. It's footage of Mrs. McCluskey from Greyjill, actually.
yeah.
I like to watch.
You know the one, Roy. No, I've heard about her, but I'm always busy when Grey Jill's on. So I've never actually seen it.
I like an authoritative woman.
No, I can see the appeal, Mike. I'm not judging.
Each to their own, you know. So Roy goes back to Blackie, who's still watching the match. How's the game going, Blackie? Carford have edged in front with goals by Davis and Miller. I wrote them down for you because I knew you were away. But what confidence Carl Hunt had left has been utterly shattered, says Blackie. They're running rings around him now. And indeed they are. Carl Hunt is a broken man from what we can see here. It says, although the game ended in victory for Carford, their fans could find nothing to cheer about. You think they'd have took Carl Hunt off.
I can find nothing to cheer about.
They used to have that. It was just a revolving substitution thing in the sixer size, didn't it? You could just
roll
go
on, roll
any
off.
Time.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Well, Carl Hunt's been forced to endure the entire game. So Roy Race was right. Carl just hasn't got it in him anymore. I reckon we're watching him walk off a footer pitch for the last time.
Footer. Oh, God, that's footer. Worse than footy, isn't it? Footer.
Oh. Abandon everything, shut the podcast down.
Yeah, retire. We're retiring from podcasting now.
You're going to get
on the basis that we just had to say the word footer.
Now we're raging.
Yeah.
They're off back to college.
I used to do a column in a women's magazine called Company.
Oh, yeah.
And it was called something like...
The Male Perspective.
Yeah, it was one of those things. I did it for a couple of years. You know, it was a bit of money, but...
yeah.
The most annoying thing that they subbed my column would always, if I mentioned football, which I suppose I would from time to time, because they wanted it to be all the kind of cliched, like, you know, well, you know what it's like. On a, you know, your missus just wants to go out shopping, but you want to watch the football. So, you know, you had to do
the
that.
Footer.
Kind of thing. That's what they want. They would always change, whenever I wrote football, Andy, they would always change it to footer or footy. Every time.
Oh, God.
And I often took the attitude with any column I've ever done or anything, just don't, you know, let them do what they need to do. Don't, you know, pick your battles. You want to be easy to work with. If you're complaining or being precious every week, that's one more excuse or reason for them to think, do you know what, let's get a shot of this cunt.
get rid of him. He's too much hassle.
Exactly. Yeah. You just want to elongate any situation like that. You know it's going to end eventually, so just keep it going. And so I'd always sort of pick my battles. I wouldn't like get precious about changes unless it was huge. But in the end, I had to say, listen, I really, really, really need you to not change the word football to footer or footy. And I went, why not? We just think it makes it more authentic and conversational. And I was like, yeah, but that's not a conversation.
It's affecting me deeply.
Yeah, it's really bothering me.
My personal relationships with friends.
I know, I'm just sort of like, I know it's me. It's just me. I'm just being silly, but it really is getting to me. And it's like, it's affecting my sleep. And if one of my friends or my brothers or something like this sees this and beats me up, I'll just have to take it. Do you know what I mean?
But then write about it.
Yeah. I got beaten up last week. Guess why? Someone read a column in which I'd referred to football as footer.
Anyway, where are we? I reckon we're watching him walk off a footer pitch for the last time. Then Roy shouts over, hang on a minute, Carl. There's something I want you and everybody else to take a look at.
Oh, God, it's not his cock, is it?
What is wrong with this man?
Oh, look at this. I've got this rash.
Listen, Race, I think you've done enough talking just lately. If you hadn't given that press interview, as I told you, I was misquoted. But now we're all going to see and hear the truth. And then he shouts, roll that film.
Oh, he knows all the lingo. That's like Roland Rat, isn't it? Roll VT.
Roll VT, yeah. And he's shouting this up to the absolute highest floor in this auditorium.
Mike, the security guard, who's a fucking joke. I don't see why not, Roy. There's a million reasons why not, Mike, you fucking idiot. You can't do this.
This is what happens. This is why people fall foul of celebrities, because they just think that people get all fucking starstruck around them and just let them do what they want.
Yeah.
And then before you know it, there's court cases and lengthy prison sentences.
Yeah.
And certain episodes of Top of the Pops can't be repeated anymore.
I know. And that affects all of us. Because they might have been good episodes.
Yeah, especially if Tina Turner's on.
Mm.
Roll that film. King Colin says, film?
What the fuck?
And there it is.
Oh, my God.
That's the big screen. And one of the fans says, hey, it's a clip from the Carford versus Burnteen game. Roy says, that's right.
This is like an episode of South Park.
That's right. He's responded to someone in the crowd who's just shouted from 50 feet away. That's right. Now, watch closely. He says, we're coming to the moment when Carl clashed with Les Anderson. There's the throw in to Les. Now, this is the thing that's haunted Carl Hunt for the past 6 months or whatever. And Roy's making him watch it again on a big screen in front of a load of people. This could go either way. Continue later in the issue. Fourth page. There it is. Now we're slowing down the film frame by frame. You can see Les turning on the ball to beat his marker. Indeed he does. And there's the expression of pain on his face as his leg starts to twist under him so violently and awkwardly that his lower bones were shattered. Fucking hell. Whoa.
And indeed, can everyone hear me? Can you hear me at the back? No? All right, I'll say the last bit again. Awkwardly, that his lower bones were shattered. Did you hear that? Good.
We're not seeing any shattered bones because this is a children's comic, thankfully, but he's in a lot of pain, Les Anderson. Roy continues. The damage was done and Les was already starting to fall as Carl made contact. It's quite clear from this shot, anyway, that Carl definitely played the ball. And then we can see Roy and Carl. Look at Roy's face there. Fucking hell. He's so delighted to have cracked the case.
And I'm a fucking genius.
It was a freak injury, Carl. A tragedy for Les. But nevertheless, a complete accident.
But fuck him, he must have insurance and PFA will sort him out.
Also, he could get a pub. He might be in a wheelchair, but he could get a pub, well, you know, a low bar.
They'll give him a fucking testimonial, won't they? I mean, look at Toby Morton. Toby Morton retired. I saw him the other day. He's never been happier. I mean, he's not minted, but he's got enough to get by. Him and his missus have a very nice life.
And Carl Hunt says, well, I'll be. Roy, I don't know what to say. So Roy says, try, what an idiot I've been. Fucking hell. All right, Roy, Jesus.
Look how smug Roy is in that picture as well.
Yeah.
That's right. I've saved your life. You're probably going to top yourself, won't you? Good job I've intervened.
Now you owe me one. I'll be back. One day. Oh, shit. I've heard about this with Roy. He does come back, always. And it's never good.
One of these days, I will come to you. Perhaps, heaven forbid, someone close to me has been shot to death. And I need you to work on their dead body to make it look respectable before their open casket funeral. Well, that's not anything that I'm familiar with. That's not a skill that I have, Roy. Well,
you could get a city of gills in it, Carl.
Imagine that. One of my best pals, like Blackie, dead from 1,000 bullet wounds, and you are made responsible for making his body look respectable. His mother might be there looking at his body. Okay, Roy.
Try, what an idiot I've been. Now go and get ready for the final, old mate. Carford City versus Melchester Rovers. And moments later, here they come, but Carl still looks mighty nervous. Showing him that film could have been a waste of time. He's had a mental block about Les Anderson for so long, he may never lose it. Oh, God. Fuck me. Right, that's the end of this one. Mm. Have you seen what it says next week? A line of speech. And I don't know who's saying this. It's your fault for bringing him back to life, Roy.
For my next trick, I will bring someone back from the dead.
Fucking hell.
Roy and Blackie go grave digging and use voodoo to bring one of their victims back to life.
I think I can report live right now that the skip has been removed from my driveway.
It's going on right now.
I can hear skip removal noises happening, yeah.
Oh, great. If we wrap up now, you might be able to grab a little bit of the skip removal on your phone.
I'll try and get that, yeah. Anyway, how many marks out of 10 you're giving it? I'm giving it 10.
10.
Yeah, brilliant. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish. But you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast. So everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. acast.com.